we'll be having an invitation at the end of service, yeah, singing and everything. Wow. You don't want to ever miss a service. You might, you know, I think that we were blessed by being here already tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And so having that said, the scripture on the board is wrong. I don't know. I got to get that guy that's putting it up there, you know. But Matthew 13 is our text. We're going through the parables of Jesus. So we come to the fifth parable, I believe it is, the parable of the sower, one of my favorite parables. Boy, it's rich. And we're going to be looking at it tonight. Remember, we're looking at 39 parables of our Lord. Some have more, some have less. And we're going to look at these in chronological order. We're not going to look at them thematically, according to theme, or we're going to look at them in order as we go through the Gospels. A lot of them are in Matthew, so we'll be in Matthew a lot. But this is the fifth parable we're going to call, beginning what is called seven parables in Matthew 13, called the Kingdom Parables. They're recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They can be called Sacred Secrets and also the King's Secrets. If you notice chapter 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Remember, parables are the way Jesus taught to conceal and reveal. He concealed it to those with hard hearts who were not receptive to the gospel. But to those who were, he revealed himself and revealed the truth to them through these parables here. So tonight we're going to look at the parable of the sower, or the parable of the souls. Now, the main theme of the parable of the sower, and this is a Fox News alert, the message of the gospel will be rejected by most people. Okay? That's the point of the parable. Now, let's begin in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Let's stand, if you will, and we're going to read down to verse 9. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell in good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Father, I pray tonight that as we look at this great parable, beginning of the kingdom parables, that we would be encouraged, not discouraged. Yes, in a way it's discouraging that many will not hear our message, or your message, and not receive the messenger. But it's also encouraging that some will. And it doesn't depend on us. It's totally on the heart of the one hearing the message and your sovereign work in their heart. And so we ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Flash news alert. The message of the gospel will be rejected by most people. Now we're looking at the context, the explanation, and the application. And as we look at the context of Matthew chapter 13, we see that these are what's called the kingdom parables. In Matthew 3 all the way to verse 52, there's seven of them. They deal with how we enter the kingdom, beginning with the message here of the sower and the souls. And they go all the way to the fact of us being in the kingdom with the last parable, the parable of the dragnet. So I like to call it the parable of the sower, because I believe the focus is on the sower with the seed here so much, and that's what we need to be concerned about. Now, these seven parables also teach the growth of the kingdom and how the kingdom progresses here in this gospel age here. Remember, the religious leaders in chapter 12 had formally rejected the Messiah, Jesus as the Messiah. They had committed the unpardonable sin in chapter 12. And we might ask, what about the kingdom? What about the kingdom that was offered? What's going to happen here? And Jesus begins to explain it in seven parables that we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks. And he gives us the course of the gospel in what's called the church age. Okay? And it begins with the parable of the sower and goes to the parable of the dragnet. So that's the context. Now, the explanation of the and parables, again, I'm just looking at an overview. I'm trying to teach you these parables here, not so much preach them. And we've got to be careful that we don't let every word in a parable say and mean something, because there's a spiritual truth that the Lord wants us to know. So we look at the explanation. Note first of all, in verse 3, we note the sower. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, we notice here that this sower here, who would sow the seed of the gospel, sow the seed, he would go out, he's using the earthly story, he would go out and he would spread his seed indiscriminately as he goes out. They had bags and they'd take the seed and they'd cast the seed out as they were walking, okay? Indiscriminately. The Bible says here he went out to sow. Not so much a targeted sowing, but he went out to sow and cast his seed. And it fell upon many different types of souls, which represent the hearts of the unregenerate. And how it took root and bore fruit depended on where it landed. If it landed on a hard heart, it bore no work. But if it landed on good ground, it landed on a ground that would receive the message and would bear fruit, right? So we have no control over the heart. Y'all agree with that? We just cast the seed, right? And there's many kinds of ways you can cast seed. Now, the primary sower, of course, is Jesus. Look over in chapter 13. Look in verse 37, if you will. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. But he's the primary sower in the text. But the secondary sower is you and I. Everybody that is saved that goes out and casts seed, right? He went out to sow. You don't sow in the church, you went out to sow, okay? That's it. The church has got to get out. We got to get past this idea that if they want the Lord, they're going to come here. That's the trouble. They don't want the Lord, and they won't have no desire to come here, right? So we go out there. We go out to sow is what he's talking about. And then there's the seed here. Go back to verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And when he sowed, now this seed here represents the gospel of the kingdom. It represents the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ and the apostles. The same message that they proclaimed is the same message that you and I are to proclaim. And it's a message that tells them how to enter the kingdom. Remember, it's kingdom parables. You can't come into the kingdom unless you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel, you understand it, and you repent of your sins and believe, right? So you can't come into the kingdom unless the seed has been sown in your heart, right? God's not going to just drop a rock from heaven with the gospel on it. A sower has to go out and sit and sow, okay? So that's why it's important. And then we have the souls in verses 4 through 9 and also in verses 18 through 23. Now, these souls, different types of ground, represent the condition of the human heart. People who hear the word of the gospel and either receive it or reject it. Okay? Now, let's begin to look at, as we explain this parable, before we get into some application, these different types of souls that represent the four different hearts that we cast seed and it lands indiscriminately. First of all, we see in verse 4 that there is the wayside soul. I'll just call them what the text calls them. He says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some seeds fell they fell over on the beaten path. Okay? That's the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them because they could not penetrate the soil because of it was a well-trodden path, and the seed did not penetrate the soil. How many of you grow a garden in here? Well, not a garden in here, but a garden out there, right? You do. I know you're a good gardener. Be careful now. This is going on the internet. But I know we do, but I notice sometimes when Morgan and Kenley and Faye do the garden, Morgan and Kenley, you see a lot of seed on the top of the ground, right? And you don't know this, Faye, but I went behind them and I'd poke them down in the ground a little bit. Because they're not going to germinate unless they're in the ground, right? Like us, we're not going to bear fruit until we die with Christ, right? And we're not going to germinate Okay? So there's the wayside soul. Now notice verse 18. Jesus explains what that is. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received seed by the wayside. The wicked one, Satan. And we're going to learn a lot of things about Satan and the birds here that are going to help us with another parable as we go through Matthew chapter 13. They don't understand the word. The devil comes and steals away the seed. We see that in Matthew 13, verse 15. Look at that. He's talking about the hardness of the people's hearts. And he comes and steals the word of God away. And Luke's rendering of this in Luke 8:12 tells us the birds represent the evil one, the devil. So if the birds represent the devil in this parable, they can't represent something else when we get to the big bush, okay? Now, he's telling us here that lost man has a twofold condition. Number one, their hearts are hardened. Satan has blinded the lost. And the devil steals the seed in the sow. Now, he comes and steals the seed, but that's because it didn't penetrate the heart, because of the hardness of their heart, okay? And then there's the stony soul in verses 5 and 6. Look at that. Some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now, look what Jesus said about that in verses 20 and 21. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and receive it with joy, receiveth it, yet hath no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So this is the seed that fell upon stony, had no root, had no depth, no measurable depth of soul here. It just fell, and it sprang up right away, and it looked good, but then when the sun came out, it withered away. And he's telling us here that we've seen this a lot. We've seen people come into the church, and man, they look like they're on fire for 6 months, and now Homeland Security can't find them. They look like they were very promising, you know? And when the persecution came because of the word, they fell away. Now, thus revealing they were never saved. They didn't lose it, but they never had it, according to this text. Okay? Because there was no root. There was no, it was stony places. It never fell on good ground here. This could be the people who often get offended at church and never darken the door of any church again. Right? I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of our offended generation. Everybody's offended. I read about a high school somewhere. They usually have, at high school graduation, they have all the women have white gowns and all the men have black gowns or blue gowns. But all of a sudden, some of the students says, well, this is disparaging to the transgenders. We all got to have the same color gown so they won't feel bad. You know? Now, I don't know. I don't know what would be under that gown, but we live in a land of the offended, and it has even crept into the church. I mean, there's things we ought to get offended about, right? But not so easily offended by each other. And if you live long enough and you're in this church, I'm going to say something that's going to offend you, and you're going to say something that's going to offend me. But I'm telling you, if it has to do with the word, we can't apologize, right? I'm not going to apologize for the word. Now, if I said something in a wrong way or didn't take it, and I didn't quite say it like I ought to, right? By the way, that's why I don't send audio text messages, because you can get in trouble like that. Brother Ganey told us about how he sent an audio text one day to his wife, and it wasn't what he wanted to send. You know what I'm saying? And so you got to be very careful. But we live in a land of the offended, right? And people say, I got offended. You know, can I be bold right here and tell you, get over it, right? I mean, you get offended at work, but you go back to work Monday, right? And so these are the people that John talked about that they left from us. They were never part of us. See? But God does seal his people, and we persevere in him. I believe in the doctrine of eternal security. And they left because they were never part of him, 1 John 2. And we need to understand that. And these are the type of people that we run across, stony soul people, wayside soul and stony soul. And then there's thorny soul. Look in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, I got to be honest with you. There are some Bible teachers that believe this soul here is saved, just a carnal Christian. I believe the first three souls are lost. The only one saved is the good soul. Now, these were sown among the thorns, and they were choked out by the thorns that sprung up. Now, look what Jesus said about this in verse 22. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Nothing here is ever said about this seed bearing fruit. I like what one Bible teacher said. He said here that this is the one who hears the word, but the ability to even bear fruit is choked out by three things. Number one, the cares of the world. Okay, the text says in verse 22. And Jesus says, if you love the world, you don't love me. Okay? In other words, we can say it this way. The cares of the world. Worry can choke the word in the believer's heart from bearing fruit. In a believer's heart. Now, in an unbeliever's heart, they're just following the cares of the world altogether. And the second thing in verse 22 that can choke word is deceitfulness of riches. In other words, wealth can choke the word. And then the pleasures of sin, Luke's rendering in Luke 8:14 gives us that, the pleasures of sin. They don't come to Christ because they love their sin. Okay? And now if the seed bore no fruit, that means there was no root. And the result of salvation is fruit. John chapter 15 says that you would bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. He didn't say you wouldn't bear no fruit at all, right? So if there's no fruit, there's no root. James chapter 4, verse 4, and 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Now, again, I'll say none of these first three produce good fruit. I want you to go back with me over to Matthew chapter 3. Look in verse 10. These are out of the words of, I believe it's John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 10. Of course, the scribes and Pharisees, he says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. And he also told them at one time, go out in repentance and give acts of or evidence of repentance by your works. Okay? So go back with me to chapter 13. So I believe that we're talking here in this third seed, we're talking about superficial commitment without truly repenting, and they produce no good fruit. Because, listen, I want to remind you again, just because somebody serves the Lord for a year and just quits on the Lord doesn't mean they lost anything. Because the Bible teaches us that endurance and perseverance and continuation is proof of salvation. Okay, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, and also 32 through 33. So they go out from us. The problem is not going to reclaim inactive members, because you can't reclaim lost church members. You go out and witness the gospel to them, right? Because that's what they need. But then look at the fourth soul. Look in verse 8 of Matthew 13. And this is the good ground. But other fell upon good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the good ground is the only one that brought forth fruit, and also in different levels of fruit-bearing. Okay? 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. But everyone had fruit. I mean, do you see it there in that text? Look at it again in verse 8. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. See, that's not said of the first three. Okay? But it is said of this. Some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Preachers have a saying, they talk about, well, he's a 100-fold Christian, or he's a 60-fold Christian, or he's a 30-fold Christian. And it may even be less, you know, but different levels of fruit bearing. But there is fruit, right? That you bear more fruit, and much fruit. Now, go to verse 23. Jesus explains this good ground here. But he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So this one here hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit. So do you get the connection here? Understanding the word and bearing fruit are connected. Okay? Lost people cannot bear good fruit. They think they're bringing forth fruit, but it's not fruit for the sake of Christ. It's not fruit done in his name. It's never referred to as good fruit in the Bible. Good fruit is for Christians. Good fruit is what the Holy Spirit produces in our life. So, but not all believers will bear the same level of fruit or the same kind of fruit. Okay? But they will bear fruit. Now, when we talk about fruit, what are we talking about? Walking around with oranges in your head? Tangerines coming out your ears? I mean, what are we talking about? By the way, Faye brought some tangerines. Where'd you get those tangerines from? Harvest. Man, I've been eating on those things, probably eating too much of them, but I just walk by them and I get one because they're easy to peel. Amen? You can just take that thing and have it peeled in 3 seconds. And then put that sweet thing in your mouth and, ooh, man. The Bible speaks of fruit as 5 things. Number one, winning souls. The Bible refers to winning souls as fruit. And when we get to heaven, we're going to stand there, and that's one of the things that we're going to be asked, one of the fruit that we're going to bring with us. Have we shared the gospel, and have we led anybody to Christ? And we know it's God that does the saving, okay? But the Bible also speaks that the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, right? Amen. And then there's the fruit of holiness. And these are things produced in our lives by the Holy Spirit, okay? And then there's sharing material things. Paul talks about the church at Philippi, I believe, for fruit to your account, giving this gift here. It's going to be laid up for you. Talks about good works. And then also praise and thankfulness. Praise is a form of fruit that is pleasing to God. So those 5 things, if you want to know if you're bearing fruit, just coming and setting, I mean, are any of these 5 things evident in your life? You know, this is fruit. This is what he wants. Now, having said all that, let's look at the application of the spiritual truths from this text. Why is Jesus sharing this parable? Again, remember, the scribes and Pharisees had officially rejected him as the Messiah. And now he's beginning to tell about his kingdom, how it's going to grow, and how people get into it, right? And they weren't willing to do that, okay? Now, let me share with you 7 things very quickly. Number one, I remind you again, the message of the gospel will be rejected by most people. That's it. People rejected Jesus, right? I mean, if they reject him, why do I get upset when they reject me? Right? Number two, the church always contains a remnant. Do you realize that only 75% of the people in this text receive the gospel? Right? The church is always a remnant. It's never a whole bunch. Joel Osteen may have 40,000 in his church. It may be more now. I hadn't done no research on it recently. But they're not all going to heaven, right? You can't go to heaven unless you hear a clear presentation of the gospel and understand it and believe in it, right? The church always contains a remnant. And then number three, don't be discouraged, but just go out and cast seed. What if the seed sower went out and said, oh man, this is 3/4 of them not even landing where it needs to go. And you know, and it gets discouraged. But what is the job of the sower? It's not to turn the soil. It's not to change the heart. It's not to bring forth fruit. The job of the sower is to cast seed. Are y'all with me? Just cast seed. Okay? And then also, did I say don't be discouraged, but just go out and cast seed? Yeah. Number four, don't target where you will cast seed. I hate to use the word target in a lot of the boycott that's going on. But don't target where you will cast seed. There are a lot of churches that say, well, we're going after that kind of segment, that demographic. We're going after the millennials. You know what? Outside of the people we got in our church, I've come to the conclusion a lot of millennials are just dumb. Okay? And you hear that on the internet? Yeah, you're dumb. Because socialism's not a good thing. You don't need to be backing Bernie Sanders, right? And so, you know, we just need to realize here that we can't target. Well, we're going to target this. No, he went out and indiscriminately cast seed, right? And he didn't say, well, I believe I'll forget that old wayside soul over there. By the way, he didn't know it was that way. He said, I'm going to just throw seed over here. No, he just went out and indiscriminately cast seed. Number five. The problem is not with the seed. Y'all would agree with that, right? There's nothing wrong with the gospel. So why do we try to change it? Why do we try to switch to another gimmick? Well, there's something wrong with the sower. We got to dress him up. He don't look like a sower. We got to buy some new clothes, you know? Oh, it's the way I'm dressed, the sower said. I'm not bringing forth fruit here because I mean, I got to go out and get me a t-shirt and jeans and some sandals, you know? And we even try different techniques. Maybe it's in the way I'm casting the seed. Maybe instead of reaching in the bag and doing it like that, I need to do it with the other hand and do it like that. Or maybe I get it out and throw it over my head. You know, the problem is my technique, right? Listen, there's no problem with the seed or the sower as long as we cast seed. Amen? And so we need to take that to heart. And then number six, sow and leave the results to God. You know, just like the sower, he went out and cast seed indiscriminately. Some landed here, some there, you know. And just, if it came up, it came up, you know. And there's no indication in the text that the sower even knew, oh man, I just threw some on hard ground here. Let me go pick it up and put it over here. And then number seven, the sower faithfully sows seed. And a seed takes root where God has conditioned the heart. Amen? You know, we have a tendency to say, well, we don't believe as many are getting saved as we should get saved. Well, I remind you about Acts chapter 2. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 2. The early church. Acts chapter 2. My rendering of the King James Bible says this. Now I'll get there. I mean, all of my pages are stuck together by my greasy fingers. Look in verse 47. Okay, you ready? This is the early church. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see it? That's his job. Our job is to cast the seed. Okay? So these are some truths I want to leave with you tonight. So the question we want to ask tonight as we go into our invitation is this. Which soil are you? By the way, I think there's an application here also for not only for the lost people receiving the gospel initially, but also, how do you listen to the Word of God Sunday after Sunday and receive the message, right? Which soul are you? Which kind of heart are you? And I pray that everybody here is good ground and bringing forth fruit, giving evidence of salvation, okay? Because where there is no evidence, there's no salvation, right? Our faith is not passive, it's active, right? Spiritual life is what? Spiritual life, right? And if it's not life, it's death, right? So this is what he says. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Go ahead and stand. Marcus, be coming. Which soul are you tonight? And I want to encourage you tonight as your pastor that your job is not to do anything else but cast seed. Okay? God takes care of the rest tonight.